Hey, are you looking for a simple way to put your files on the web? You can do it now with a pacificpelican.us/cms. This is a very simple app for the web. You can install on your own website. All you need is a server that can run PHP. It doesn't require a database, and it just uses PHP and text files. And you can upload photos and actually other files too. You can upload text documents by composing and then upload and then posting, and it will create a simple blog system for you. And it also is able to work as a URL shortener, so you can put it on a nice short domain and have it redirect URL, pacificpelican.us/cms. Hey, you're listening to the DJMCloud.com podcast, number 18, recorded December 13, 2011. We're going to be talking about apps and WordPress and other stuff.
One, I want just to balance the fact that I do have a balancing clip, just so we don't sound like a couple of shills for the Republican Party.
Well, nice fumbling attempt to save John C. Dvorak, but I think it's a little late for that. That's a clip from the No Agenda podcast. So now I think what I had on my mind at the beginning of this was how WordPress had just been upgraded. The content management system written in PHP and MySQL that's very popular, free CMS that a lot of people use on their websites, and then people also use their hosted WordPress.com service and other things. That's a private company. See, I think that like a lot of open source projects, while it may have a lot of ideals, the governance of WordPress is very problematic. There are too many people that are both involved in the commercial WordPress.com company, which is, I think, known as Automattic in some circles. And then there's the WordPress.org open source project. And then there's the WordPress Foundation, which nominally controls the trademark, I think. But then again, the WordPress Foundation is controlled by Matt Mullenweg, who is the principal, as far as I can tell, in all three of those organizations, or at least a major insider in all three. So, the automatic WordPress.com side has taken money from the New York Times and venture capitalists, and they're a for-profit company that offers expensive, what they call VIP hosted services, and you can see the problems with the conflicts of interest, where they have the WordPress.com develops plugins that WordPress.org users can have, but they package it in this plugin called the Jetpack, where it's essentially a Trojan horse to get people, while even if they're hosting their WordPress blog on their own domain and their own server with their own with their own WordPress.org install, then they still want them to become dependent on services like the Akismet spam filtering service and the WordPress.com stats package. So I think there's a lot of problems with the way the WordPress project is run, and I was recently complaining on Twitter about how there's a real flaw in the current default theme, 2011 is what it's called. the theme pushes images together so that they retain a considerable height, but their width narrows so that they appear like smushed together. And photos look that way if they're cross-posted using Posterous, and if it's done if it's on the default theme. So I just didn't I was complaining about that because the problem only occurs on mobile, or at least on iPhone browser. It doesn't occur on the regular web, so it's just a huge oversight. I mean, you think like you can't have a mobile friendly browser, and here's the mobile friendly theme, because if you go to the 2010 theme, the previous default theme, or my Keep theme, those themes both handle the images fine. So there's some stupid CSS problem in that pile, the piles and piles of CSS code that they throw in those WordPress default themes. They asked me to specify what the specific CSS problem was, and I really wasn't in much of a mood to help them, and I told them that I would rather I would be in more of a mood to help if they sorted out some of their governance and conflict of interest issues. I actually submitted a ticket previously about what I thought was a JavaScript bug, and the ticket was ignored and then essentially sidelined after someone else who is an insider in the project reported the same issue in a different ticket, and then they marked my ticket as a duplicate. And I'm just saying that I think while it had been ignored, even though it had been, I had written that ticket first. Now, it's not really, a major issue about like the exact order of what tickets are reviewed or something. I think it shows though that it was the people that are looking at each other's work, a narrow circle of developers. WordPress sort of has its own 1%, and I think people need to the people need to realize that you don't have to contribute code back to the WordPress project under a lot of circumstances. If you're just working your own if you're just working on your own version of it, and the community, they have to earn people's respect and desire to contribute. Well, I made three new videos in the last month, and these are the last three editions of the Pacific Pelican.us /podcast video blog. And the first one I made I would characterize as a video with a message, and that message is "Don't snitch." The video is called "Don't Gordon Square," but it features music by my band with Jessica called Neener, and it has some parts like this. And it has some cool video footage around Cleveland and Lakewood, and it's called Gordon Square because some of that footage was taken in Gordon Square, and on the night out Jessica and I had out there. There's also some Lakewood footage and some somewhat kind of abstract footage because I was using some different effects. But it's, speaking of using filters and effects on video, now there's the other two videos vary widely in that regard. Now the first one, it's what you might call a setup movie. It's Big Parrot Millet Part 1. And well, it's a video where I'm offering my parakeets, Dodger, Balance, Sparty, a spray of millet that's marketed to bigger parrots, although it's for any hookbill parrot, and so our parakeets are capable of having it. It's just not clear at the end of the first installment whether they're even really gonna be bothered eating it. And of course, they have their pellets in their cage, so you know this isn't the only food they're being offered. But I was interested to see if they would accept it as a treat. So in the first at the front end of the first episode, it appears that they're flying away when offered it. Now this the episode one is a small SD video that it uses 8mm style effects and fisheye lens style effects on the video. And so the follow-up video is in 1080p, shot with the iPhone 4S, like the first installment, but used to the full resolution capability of that phone. And in kind of a throwback to earlier PacificPelican.us/podcast episodes, it has a title screen that's based on a picture. And this one shows very conclusively that while the birds still do, like Sparty shows, like to fly around a bit, they also like to eat this big parrot millet. They really chomp down on it, and they're seen eating it and knocking it around the cage. But they it's kind of cool that they learn to actually enjoy that type of treat. You know, diversify the type of treats they had. So if you want to check out those videos, you can see them at PacificPelican.us/podcast. That'll take you to the Pacific Archives page that has my videos that you can download them there. And you can also check my YouTube page at youtube.com/user/PacificPelican. Some iOS apps that I have checked out and I think are pretty cool. So let me mention one that may not be news to you if you're an iPad user. But if, like me, you have an iPhone and not an iPad, then this app is definitely a cool addition to your app library now. I think iPads are definitely cool. My wife has one and likes hers. Also, my brother, my dad, a number of people I know have them and tend to like them, and they seem cool. And I've used them a bit. But like GarageBand, an app that is really cool and well known for iOS, is now moving to the phone. I did talk in a previous episode about how GarageBand is now available on not only on the desktop version on the Mac, but also on the iPad. And in addition to that, you can use it on the iPhone. Now, of course, the interface is going to be slightly different, and it is a little bit cooler for sure to have the whole iPad to work with to make music, but that doesn't mean having the iPhone version isn't really cool. And I think that's pretty much the same thing with Flipboard. My wife has a Flipboard app on her iPad, and it's a cool reading app. It's like an aggregator. It takes information from different sites, so you can give it the credentials to your Instagram account, your Twitter account, your Tumblr account, your Google Reader account. They have their own like news, technology, Flipboard picks, photography, business, and other sections that you can click on whichever of those items in the main menu you want. You can flip down for other options, and then when you click on one, then it has this flip up kind of interface to move from one story to another, and then you can click on stories to read more about them. You can share stories on Twitter from the interface if you're logged in for that. It has integration with a lot of services, so I think it's really cool. And I have been using it to read some Google Reader. I've used it to read some Twitter. But I think, like, for example, Tumblr, I do have an account where I follow a handful of different Tumblr blogs, but I haven't. It's not something I log into that frequently to look at. So it's a good interface for looking at stuff like that. Flickr links into it. So I think that it's definitely worth checking out. Now I have a like I often do. I have a photo app to mention, and this one is Fisheye Toy Camera. The app is actually by Miskui or some developer who has this app that I don't know, it's about $1 or so. It allows you to generate photos that have a fake fisheye effect. And there's a handful of different apps in this space. I just saw a review of another one recently, and I think that there are other options, and if you want to be thorough, you may want to look around before you spend a dollar or two. But I do think this one is certainly pretty good. I could envision some developments where they might be able to make one that doesn't have some of the limitations of this one. Like, this one really just takes circular photos that simulate a fisheye appearance. I wish they could put a fisheye effect on a square photo. But overall, it's actually pretty cool to mess around with. You can snap photos with it, and then you can pick from about 10 different presets that allow the photo to look differently. But it's mainly a color filtering exercise in terms of how these and light leak insertion or other effects like that you're going to have on the difference between the effects. There aren't really, like, doesn't really appear to be different types of fisheye effects per se. But anyway, it does a pretty good job simulating that. Again, like, if you're okay with a round photo, placed in a black square, it does give you some options about how the final product would look, and you can flip through and then hit save when you find the look that you want, and save it to your camera roll or Twitter or a few other options. So I recommend looking into that if you want to take, like, casual, like, fun, fisheye simulated lens photos. Now, of course, there's the optical limitations of just simulating it with a camera phone like this does, even though it is using the excellent iPhone 4S camera phone, for example, with mine. But it still has limitations. There's a geometric and light properties that fisheye, actual physical optical fisheye lenses use that create more rich effects, that, of course, than you're going to get with this app. But of course, this is a convenient app to have fun with. Now, another cool app. This app actually is that I'm going to talk about next. The third app is called Big Lens by Reallusion Incorporated. The Big Lens app is, well, kind of what its name sounds like. It's an attempt to simulate some of the effects you might get if you were using a big lens, say on a DSLR type camera. So, for example, what I've been using it for a good deal is taking photos that have a simulated shallow depth of field, like an SLR lens will often have. So, if you want to have a shot of a bird and just want to have the bird be in focus and not the trees in the background, and have that shallow depth of field where you're narrowly focused, you could take a photo with your iPhone, and then in this app you can actually adjust the simulated aperture, and you can select the area that you don't want blurred, and essentially, I guess it's not exactly like a tilt shift effect, but it's basically, you know, picking the area that you don't want blurred, allowing the rest of the other area to be blurred more or less based on your settings, like the simulated aperture, and you can decide whether you can use a circle or a rectangular kind of area that you're going to exclude from blurring. So it is an interesting app for I think a dollar or two also. You may want to check out if you want to, you know, try some of those types of effects that I just described, you know, but while doing them, you know, on your iPhone.